The automobile transformed the 20th century, and autonomous vehicles have the potential to reshape the 21st. The promise of connected cars and autonomous driving will be the focus of this special four-part series as part of the Hogan Lovells Straight Talks podcast. Hogan Lovells is a global law firm with 2,800 attorneys and over 45 offices around the world. In this episode, we'll speak with Hogan Lovells partners Michael Kidney from his office in Washington and Sebastian Polly from his office in Munich. The focus: the tricky issues surrounding product liability when it comes to the autonomous vehicle revolution. There are a lot of misconceptions when it comes to any new technology. But with regard to autonomous vehicles, what are people getting wrong? We'll start with Michael and then pivot to Sebastian.
One misconception that people have whenever there's a new technology is, when they don't understand it completely, they often over-rely on it. And then they become disappointed in the new technology, not because the technology is not helpful, but because they have over-relied on it and they were expecting it to do something it didn't do. And one example of that is when auto manufacturers installed anti-lock brakes, the number of accidents, the number of collisions actually went up. And that's because people had a misconception of the technology and thought that they could drive very close to the bumper of the vehicle in front of them and that the anti-lock brakes would be miraculous and would be able to stop the vehicle on a dime. So one potential problem going forward is there are various levels of autonomous technology, and people who are not in a fully autonomous vehicle, there is a risk that they are going to think that the vehicle, that they can treat the vehicle as if it is fully autonomous and not be vigilant to take over the vehicle at appropriate times.
When we look at automated autonomous driving, the question is, how safe does such a vehicle have to be? Is it all right if it is as good as the average driver? Does it have to be as good as the individual driver? Does it need to be absolutely flawless and absolutely accident-free, perfect driver, which I think cannot be expected? And the lessons learned is always that you need to provide a lot of guidance to clients and their engineers to really get it right and to make sure that people understand and are educated what a technology, what a specific technology can do and what it cannot do.
Will there be a shift in litigation, specifically in regard to liability? And how does the US compare with the EU in this regard?
In the EU, we have a strict liability regime, meaning that there is no threshold for negligence or intent that needs to be proven to get compensation. So a claimant can typically just argue that his or her product was defective at the time it was placed on the market, and that this defect allegedly caused a damage or loss, and then ask for respective compensation. It can very easily become a battle of the experts, where you have to look into technology and understand what state of the art actually means, and whether a technology, even if it failed in the field, still there can be a lot of good arguments to say that regardless of the fact that it failed and that there was an accident, that it was still free from defects because it met the reasonable safety expectation and that it was state of the art, and that this was all that the claimant was allowed to expect.
So in the US, many states have adopted a standard that dictates that a technology is defective if at the time a vehicle was manufactured, there was an alternative feasible design that was safer and feasible, and it was not adopted. And the problem with that is that decision is made without respect to what the manufacturer knew at the time of the manufacture. And what I mean by that is the manufacturer might have thought that they were using the very best technology available. But if it turns out that through no fault of their own, there was a better technology that the manufacturer in fact did not know about. In the U.S., the manufacturer can be held strictly liable still in many states. And that's an unfortunate standard for many manufacturers because it holds them liable even when they were exercising their very best judgment and doing everything they could.
What ethical dilemmas do companies face with this developing technology?
The better a system gets, the more advanced the technology gets. It's not so much about crash avoidance, but it's also about crash optimization, meaning if the vehicle detects for whatever reason, I cannot avoid this crash, then it's all about optimizing the crash, meaning having the least impact. But where does that leave us? So, for example, what if there are people on the streets and what if there are passengers in the car, meaning there is somebody in the middle of the street and you think about, can I make an evasive maneuver but maybe then jeopardize somebody on the sidewalk? Or, and in my view, that's maybe one of the most challenging ones, what about the passengers? You spend a lot of money for a car, for a very modern, innovative vehicle, and then wouldn't you expect that it kind of protects maybe your family, your kids on the backseat as good as it can and maybe favors their life over the life of somebody else? And then ask yourself, is that an ethically right approach? Is that something you would do or you would expect your car to do? Would you buy the car if it would decide differently, if it would maybe sacrifice you and your family to save somebody who is in the middle of the street, who isn't even supposed to be there? And those are the kind of questions that the industry, particularly the software programmers and the engineers, are working on a lot to figure out what would be an acceptable and ethically acceptable approach.
I think those are all great points, Sebastian. And one related point is, to what extent should a vehicle be programmed when these sorts of situations arise to send a message to the driver that the driver needs to take over? And certainly there are situations where these sorts of ethical dilemmas may occur, and there's enough time to send a message to a driver to say to the driver, take over so the driver can make these decisions on their own. But by the same token, there are going to be situations where there just is not sufficient time for to send a message to a driver and to expect the driver to be able to take over the vehicle, because by that point, it may be too late. So there are certainly going to be situations where the vehicle is going to have to make these decisions, and then there's going to be an issue of where there is sufficient time should the vehicle turn that decision over to the driver.
Music for this podcast was created by Scott Holmes. For more information about autonomous vehicles or Hogan Levels, please visit HoganLevels.com.